material world is like playing kabaddi. I don't know if you know the game of kabaddi. What do you do in kabaddi? First of all, before entering the enemy ground or the opposing party, you take a deep breath. And then, kabaddi, kabaddi, you go inside. And when you go, you are on your toes, very alert. Anyone can pull you and catch you and your breath will be finished. So as long as your breath is there, kabaddi, 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 just touch the line. You know, you're supposed to touch the line, otherwise you're out. So touch that middle line and if possible, drag someone else to your court. Otherwise, run back safely. So, association of devotees is like our home ground. We have to come here, take a fresh, deep breath of spiritual life. And then when we go out into the world, we have to be on our toes, alert, so that nobody catches us and pulls our consciousness down. Just do whatever is needful to survive, and as soon as you feel, hey, my breath is going down, kabaddi, 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 and then you can run back. Run back to the association. It looks like a joke, but just think about it. Actually, it's a war. When a person wants to become self-realized, he is declaring war with the external energy of the Lord. You are declaring war with Maya. And if you are not alert, if you don't rush back to the base camp to, you know, to get proper ammunition, you will be finished. You won't return back. Therefore, the association of devotees is very important. And in addition to that, if our nourishment, that is the food, is also simply offered for 5 minutes if you take the effort and time. Of course, if you want to offer it, you should not taste it. We are not like Shabri to taste it. Good show. My Lord, you eat it. She was too exalted. Don't try to imitate Shabri. We have to cook. We have to learn to cook without tasting. Because he is the master of the house. Not that everyone eats and whatever is left out, dear master, pick up from the fridge whatever is left out. He should eat first and we accept his remnants. So therefore, whatever is cooked should be offered with love and devotion. Actually, we should have a separate plate. It's not that, you know, whatever plate is somewhere is there where we have eaten. For the Lord, we should have the best possible thing. And in ISKCON, you will learn one thing. Prasad is not general prasad what you think outside. The first time I came to the temple, the devotee said, just wait a minute. You eat prasad and go. I said, all right. And the first, come. And he gave me a plate. I said, I thought you'll give me prasad. I thought, you know, some sugar crystals and some groundnut seed or whatever. And he said, you gave a plate. And then rice and dal and sabji and chapati and sweets. I said, what about prasad? He said, yes, this is prasad. Everything is prasad. Mercy of the Lord. So after coming to ISKCON, my concept of prasad changed. Prasad means full mercy. Stomach full of mercy. So, everything that we eat actually should be prasad. That means first offered to the Lord. This is our ideal goal we should strive for. And it's a fact. I can tell you with my little experience, whatever little experience I have had. Anyone who has sincerely tried to at least follow one or two, if not three or four straight away, especially chanting and associating. A and C. Rest, everything else what we have discussed will follow. It's a fact. So my sincere request is, at least all of you, those who are already, I know some of you are already regularly visitors to the temple, if you are not chanting, my sincere request, at least having come to these 7 sessions, if you can at least chant 1 round a day, take a vow on this most auspicious day at the feet of their lordships, the Supreme Father, he will give you the strength. You may think, I don't know whether I'll be able to do, what will the family say, what will my friends say. If you take 1 step towards God, he will take 1 million. He will also take 1 step, but his 1 step is very big. In 2 steps, he measured the whole universe as Vamandev. So, if we sincerely have determination to take 1 step towards God by deciding to commit 5 or 10 minutes a day to chant the holy name, the rest will follow. Okay, next. So now we are almost coming to the end. And finally, I would like to speak about a very important thing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, and that is the Harinam Sankirtan, how to chant in the Kirtan as taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we will discuss in the slideshow, which is to follow, is considered the incarnation of Krishna in Kali Yuga, who specifically came to establish the Yuga Dharma. For Kali Yuga, what is the easiest and most potent process of following perfecting our lives? And that is Harinam Sankirtan. And Sankirtan is made up of two. Sang means to together, Samyak, and Kirtan means to glorify the Lord. I don't know how many of you have come to our Sunday program. Every Sunday we have program in the temple. And I'm sure many of you would be shocked to see some event that is happening at the end of every lecture. And that is, everyone gets up, very dignified looking people, listening to philosophy, very nice gentlemen, suddenly start jumping around, hands raised. And said, till now he was all right, what happened to him? This was one thing which was too difficult to digest for me. I can tell you, many have told me, and I also had this experience. The first time I came to the temple, said, your philosophy is excellent. People are also quite sober. You make sense. Your philosophy makes sense. Your prasadam is also nice. And temple is also good. Everything is all right. Bhajans are all right. Suddenly you start jumping around, hopping around. What is the necessity to show all this, you know, your devotion? You can just sit at one place, gravity and offer your respects. What is the necessity to jump around? Especially we find this chanting of the holy name. And I used to do that. Everything I was sitting inside, but the moment this kirtan started, I would go behind and stand outside. You chant, after that I will come for prasad. And about 6 months passed. I was very shy to raise my hand and dance. I said, I'm not going to do that. And one day I was sitting in the corner and there was a senior devotee who was speaking. And he said, you know something? I will tell you who are the people who can't raise their hands in kirtan in front of the Lord. I said, hey, he's referring to me. Let me see what he has to say. He said, those who are bags of sin cannot raise their hands in front of the Lord. This was like a real insult to me. What does he say? I'm such a pious fellow and he says I'm a bag of sin, sinful reactions. And he told, suppose you have 50 kilos of rice and 50 kilos of dal, carrying two bags, you know, on your two hands, and suddenly someone says, Hare Krishna, raise your hand. Can you raise? He says, no, obviously not, because you are carrying big load. Similarly, those whose heart is filled with loads and loads of sinful reactions, they can't raise their hands in the loving kirtan of the Lord. I said, what does he think of himself? Just wait till the kirtan. I will show him who I am, what my heart is. But then immediately my other mind said, it is a trick. Don't fall for it. I said, nothing doing. I said, I'm not going to chant. Nothing doing. Yes, I'm a bag of sin. I'll continue to remain tons of bags of sin, but I'm not going to raise my hand. And then he said, another reason why people can't raise their hands. I said, no, what more? He said, those who are envious of God, they cannot raise their hands in the glorification of the Lord. He said, if you go to Ravana and say, Jai Shri Ram, he's going to do that? No. He said, those who are in Ravana's party cannot raise their hands in the glorification of Lord Ram. I said, this was too much. Am I full of envy? Do I hate God? Anyway, he made the point and the kirtan started. And my heart was in two minds. Am I a bag of sin? Am I envious? Do I belong to Ravana's party? This was haunting. So, I said, I was standing behind, nobody was watching. So, I said, let me confirm to myself that I am not a bag of sin. And I'll just raise my hands a little, just shoulder level. Just so that, to confirm to myself at least. So, I said, can I raise or not? And I raised. Then I said, having raised half, I might as well raise at least once full. Just to confirm, once and for all. But I was so shy, I just closed my eyes and raised my hands. And all of the people around, they would watch me always. They would tell me, why don't you dance? Why don't you do kirtan? And of course, they never pushed me. So, I had closed my eyes and raised my hand. And people looked around, they were shocked. They said, oh, this fellow has got transformed. Suddenly somebody pushed from behind and they pushed me inside the group where everyone was dancing. And suddenly I found myself twirled. And you know, someone was helping me do that. And somehow I started. And Krishna is a good salesman. He first installment, he gives some special mercy. And on that day I felt really very enthused and very ecstatic, very nice, blissful. Of course, after that I never felt. First time Krishna gave a free sample of mercy. And since then, at least by Krishna's mercy, I am continuing to praise and chant. Of course, the idea is, what I mean to say is, this raising of hand in the kirtan is not simply an entertainment. We should understand, the Supreme Lord Himself showed the way to surrender to Krishna. Body, mind and words. Manasa, karmana, vacha. What is samadhi? Samadhi means our mind, body and words are engaged in glorification of the Lord. During kirtan, our mind is absorbed in hearing the holy name and chanting the holy name. That it is glorifying the Lord. Our ears and tongue is engaged in glorifying the Lord when we hear the holy name and chant. And our whole body is engaged in glorifying because we are raising our hands and just swinging. Our whole body, legs, hands and the whole body is moving. It is an actual way of exhibiting our surrender. We may not feel that love, ecstasy coming, but we do it for the pleasure of the Lord. Whether we feel like it or not, we do it for the pleasure of the Lord. Of course, some are a little over-enthusiastic. If you have any heart problem, you can just dance in your heart and just move around. But the idea is, it's a process of surrender. So, if you feel a little shy, don't get... Or if you have a heart patient, you can stand behind, dance in your heart. You need not. But the point is, this kirtan is actually an expression of our love and surrender to Krishna. Yeah? Anything else? Yes. He himself said, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself demonstrated how one should do. Next. And regularly visiting the temple. As I said, if you have made your home into a temple, what is the need to come to a temple? Because in the association of advanced devotees, we get inspired and our faith and devotion also increases so that we can go back and make our home and heart into a surcharged temple to advance in devotion. So, finally, yeah, next. With this, actually, we come to a conclusion. But now, I would quickly like to run through a few slides to speak on two important and briefly subject matters. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And who is Srila Prabhupada, the founder of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness? Briefly, his life and his contributions. Can we have the lights off? So Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjun 5,000 years ago, and in this way removed the illusion, the dilemma of Arjun. And through Arjun, he gave this message to all the living entities since then. so that even they can get the benefit and achieve the perfection of their life. Next. The same Lord Krishna appeared 500 years ago, but this time not as the Supreme Lord, but came as a devotee to show personally by his own example how to surrender to Krishna. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja. And that process was demonstrated by Chaitanya as Harinam Sankirtan. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam. Next. So he, in Bengal, Navadvip, which is about 3 hours journey from Calcutta, this place called Navadvip, which was the birthplace of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would gather all his townspeople, and through every town and village, he would travel and congregate together to chant the holy name of the Lord in groups. Next. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so potent with mercy through the holy name that once when he was traveling through the forests of Jharkhand, currently in Madhya Pradesh, on his way to Vrindavan, when he was dancing with pure love emanating from his heart through the holy name, even the wild animals in the jungle who were inimical to each other, like the deer and the tigers, the elephants and the monkeys and all kinds of who were dreaded enemies of each other, forgot all their enmity and started embracing each other with tears of love flowing from their heart and just dancing and chanting along with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We may feel that this is simply a mythology, a myth. But actually, Swami Prabhupada, the founder of this international society, he went abroad and in the year 1974, I think, which was 500th year of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance in the holy land of Mayapur, he had practically people from all over the world, from all different religions. There were Jews who were dancing with Germans. There were Indians who were dancing with Pakistanis. There were all kinds of people who were dreaded enemies externally, bodily platform speaking, but everyone, forgetting all of their animosity, they were all chanting together and dancing the holy name of the Lord. And thus, Srila Prabhupada said, this is real United Nations, where everyone unites, forgetting all the externalities and understanding that every soul is tiny fragment of Krishna. Rasa, loving of Rasa Leela means a loving exchange of heart's devotion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna with the mood and the bodily complexion of the exalted devotee Srimati Radharani. What 500 years ago Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu propagated in the unbroken chain of disciplic succession, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, taking the message of his guru to spread this message of the Bhagavad Gita all over the world, traveled all over the world to infuse the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. Srila Prabhupada was born in the year 1896 in Calcutta. Right from his early age, he had a natural inclination for worshipping the Lord. In fact, his father encouraged him. Even when he was a small, tiny boy, he would organize Rathyatras, taking a small cart and putting Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, and he would have Rathyatra ceremony in his street. And for 3 consecutive days, he would invite and involve and enthuse and encourage not only children but all the elderly members throughout that area to participate. And in this way, they would have fantastic festival for 3 days dedicated to this beautiful chariot festival of Lord Jagannath. Thus showing that he was not an ordinary personality right from day one. In the year 1922, when he was 26 year old, first time he met his guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Calcutta. He was at that time, Srila Prabhupada, who is sitting in white to your right, he was a follower of Gandhi at that time. And then he told his guru that our country is a dependent country. This was in 1922 when India was dependent. So he said, not independent. So he said, who will listen to our message? First we should get independence, then we will preach all this. And his guru said that dependence or independence is of not relevance. What is important is independence from the cycle of birth and death. This is real independence. Otherwise, one government will come, another government will go, but material world will continue. That's not of real relevance. And this message struck Srila Prabhupada so much to his heart that he decided that this person was the real guru and he wanted to surrender his life. His guru ordered him that you are a young man, take the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spread it in English language in the Western world. The reason why he stressed Prabhupada to go to the Western world was, he was seeing that the whole country was trying to imitate the West. And he said, he gave a beautiful example of the West and the East. He said, once there was a village in which there were two people. And once the village caught on fire from all four sides, and everyone made their escape except two people. A powerful man who was blind and another fellow who was lame. They were stuck. So they made a trick, they made a plan. The lame man sat on the shoulder of the blind man and both them made their escape. He said, Western world is very powerful materially, but blind spiritually. And India materially is lame, but spiritually it has powerful vision. If the vision of the East can be combined with the technology of the West, then the whole world can be saved. And therefore, taking this vision of his guru, Srila Prabhupada traveled to the Western world. Practically with nothing, practically no money. But then he had faith in the order of his guru and the message of the Bhagavad Gita and the power of the holy name. In fact, in this very ship, Jaladuta, he had 2 heart attacks. At the age of 69, when people generally retire and settle down, alone with just 40 rupees, which is not even worth $2, he left to the Western world, not knowing where he will go, what he will do, what he will eat, where he will stay. Nothing, no contacts, nothing. He just left, having faith in the order of his guru and the power of the holy name. And after few months of struggle, 1 to 1.5 years of struggle, slowly the hippies who were intelligent people, who were disillusioned by the materialistic society and were desperately looking for something higher, something newer, and trying out everything including drugs. These kind of desperate people, disillusioned people, they found some direction after coming in contact with Prabhupada and hearing him from him the message of Bhagavad Gita. And slowly few of them started following him. These were drug addicts, drunkards, womanizers. But then simply by the association of a pure devotee of the Lord, lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy, sincere people amongst them who understood the importance of the message, slowly gave up all their nonsensical habits and slowly took up the message of Srila Prabhupada to their heart. Very soon, in New York, there was a center established. After that, in Los Angeles. in this way, slowly San Francisco, and then Los Angeles. And then few of his disciples, American disciples, he sent to Britain. And there in London, at that time, the most famous Beatles, amongst them, George Harrison, who was actually chanting Hare Krishna even before, was a very pious person. He took up this very seriously. And he made the album, and this way, this Hare Krishna Mahamantra became a household word, not only throughout America, but also throughout Europe. In this way, Srila Prabhupada, alone, in a completely foreign land, where nobody knew who Krishna is, nobody knew what Vedic culture is, slowly, painstakingly, taught them and trained these people how to wear a dhoti, how to put on a tilak, how to eat food, how to wash after passing stool. None of it they knew. They knew nothing. So right from the scratch, he had to instill the Vedic culture, you know, implant this Vedic culture. So he not only transformed the hearts, but he transformed the whole civilization, Vedic civilization. In the next 12 years, from 1966 to 1977, when he left his body, in these 12 years, he traveled 12 times all over the globe, preaching the message. In fact, at that time, Russia was Iron Curtain. Communist nation, not allowed. Still, Prabhupada tried. He went there, this is in Moscow, where he tried to implant the seed of Krishna consciousness in the heart of the Russians. Today, they have thousands of people following the message of the Bhagavad Gita in their lives. Next. He would take every opportunity to meet philosophers, thinkers, scientists, professors, whom his disciples would bring. And he would discuss with them and establish the superiority of Vedic culture and Krishna consciousness and the message of Bhagavad Gita and inspire them to follow the message. If they are a Christian, become a good Christian, but take up the message of the Lord and surrender to Him. In this way, it was simply by the contribution of this one single man, one man army, so to say, Srila Prabhupada established this whole International Society of Krishna Consciousness. It is said a sadhu is titikshavaha karunika. Prabhupada tolerated untold miseries, two heart attacks, poverty, living in ghettos like slums in New York. And so many times, so many things were stolen from him. And nobody could actually understand. He had to live with people who were womanizers, drunkards, meat eaters. He had to live in their homes. He tolerated simply because it was his mercy. Mercifully, he wanted to give them what they were desperately looking for but were lacking. And it was his mercy that the society was established and spread this message. Srila Prabhupada was a visionary. He knew he was an old man, he may not live long. And therefore, before he left this world, he wanted to establish an infrastructure. He wanted to give a blueprint for an international society which would propagate the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and message of Bhagavad Gita all over the world for the next 10,000 years. And therefore, he foresaw the situation and whole life, especially the last few years, he dedicated to establish Krishna consciousness as a fact, tangible truth all over. His contributions are many. One of his greatest contributions was the temples that he established. This was not like ordinary temples that we see all over India. Not simply some torn down places where people go give some donation and feel little pious and come out. He established dynamic places of worship where systematically the society could be taught how to make their homes into a temple and how to make their hearts into a temple. Next. Today there are practically 450 centers all over the world and many, many sub-centers, preaching centers, where literally thousands of people are getting enlivened and encouraged to follow the principles of Bhagavad Gita and live their life towards self-realization. He established... Another great contribution was he taught people how to actually serve the Lord. One of the most attractive features that I personally got attracted when I came to the ISKCON temples was the worship of the Sri Vigraha or the deities. Generally, I have visited many temples, the worship goes on. But somewhere, what was one thing that was very attractive to me, other than the fact of many other things, but one of the things that attracted me the most was the beautiful deities, which were as if they were like, anytime they're going to come down the altar. Cleanliness, punctuality, and devotion was the main ingredients of temple worship that Srila Prabhupada taught. And in this way, through each of the centers, he had a desire that people get trained to make their homes into a temple and make their hearts into a temple. Another very ingenious thing that Srila Prabhupada introduced was in every temple of his, there was a Sunday love feast where everyone was invited to participate in wonderful kirtan, wonderful lecture, followed by sumptuous Krishna Prasad, which not only fills people's belly, but also nourishes their heart and instills pure devotion within their consciousness. Srila Prabhupada knew he was an old man and he could go away at any time. So whole day he would manage the temples, train the disciples, and whole night, literally, practically sleeping for just 2 to 3 hours, he would spend the whole night translating books. Today we have more than 80 volumes of literature translated in more than 60 languages, and millions of which have been distributed all over the world. And because of these books, the terse and intricate message of the Vedas, which is so difficult to understand, is so easily understood. One of the things that I was telling, that I was very impressed was the simplicity, the clarity, and the authority of the books of Srila Prabhupada. He presented the message so simple, so clear, so authoritative. Another contribution was writing a magazine called Back to Godhead, which was a bi-monthly, which would come every few weeks to reveal the practical application of Vedic truths in our day-to-day circumstances that we see all over currently. That's the purpose of this magazine, to enliven people, to make discrimination between what is truth and what is untruth, what is illusion and what is reality. Even today, this magazine is continued by his disciples to be published and distributed all over the world. A great festival that is observed in India is the Jagannath Rath Yatra and Jagannath Puri, where lakhs of people from all over come and take part. Jagannath Rath Yatra happens once in a year. It is said there are some kinds of people who are not allowed to go into the temple. That's in the Jagannath Puri. Therefore, the Lord mercifully comes to give his darshan once a year. Prabhupada said, if someone is sick, they go to a doctor. But if someone is seriously sick, then the doctor has to come home. Home visit. Similarly, earlier people would go to the temple in other yugas. But in Kali Yuga, people are so sick, nobody goes to the temple, so the Lord has to come out and forcefully give his darshan and prasad and mercy. That is the meaning of the Jagannath Rath Yatra. And by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, today Jagannath Rath Yatra is observed in practically all the major cities of the world. All the major cities. In fact, in New York, I was told that it is declared a public holiday. Imagine. Next. This is in New York, Rath Yatra. Hundreds of people take part, accept prasad, and blissfully enjoy this beautiful festival of chariot. Next. This, I think, is Los Angeles, yeah. Where, again, we see thousands of people literally taking part. Imagine all these people who have never seen who Krishna is. They see Jagannath. And Jagannath is very merciful. He is showering his mercy through his eyes. His eyes are really huge, big. Special mercy he showers. Next. Another vision of Srila Prabhupada was, he wanted that a Gurukula system be set up where the children are trained systematically so that they understand what is the ultimate purpose of life. And today, in many places, these Gurukulas, almost many are residential schools, almost some are like day schools, but the principle of being training them not only materially but simultaneously spiritually is being carried out. Next. The greatest contribution that Srila Prabhupada made was giving us the connection to the parampara, to that pure message of Krishna, what was given 5,000 years ago. That connection was brought, as we were discussing, like a plug point. He made it available. He made it available to us so that we could easily access the same message that Krishna taught to Arjun 5,000 years ago. Another contribution of Srila Prabhupada was the congregational chanting of the holy name. Today, practically all over the world, in every temple, through every temple, Harinam Sankirtan parties go out. Just imagine in a city surcharged with mode of passion and ignorance, devotees just walking, chanting the holy name. They are like very funny sights. Sometimes people say, what are you doing wearing bed sheets and putting mud on your face? They don't understand what is this tilak and what is this dhoti. So they see, oh, these Hare Krishnas, they are people who wear bed sheets around them and put some mud on their face. But the devotees, very enthusiastically, nevertheless, continue to chant the holy name, give them the mercy of the Lord. Next. Another great contribution of Srila Prabhupada was he gave us his disciples and established Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, where everyone can actually associate with devotees and transform their life. There's a story of how Narada once met a person called Mrigari, who was a cruel hunter who would kill animals half dead and see them, enjoy seeing them suffering in pain, wriggling in pain. After Narada met them and he preached to them, next. In a year later, when Narada came along with his friend Parvat Muni, that same man came to receive Narada, but at that time he took a shawl and just brushed the ground and then fell at the feet of Narada. Narada said, what are you doing? He said, no, there are some ants. When I offer obeisances, I should not press them and kill them. Narada's friend was shocked. He said, this is the same man who would kill deers and elephants half dead and watch them suffering, and today he doesn't want to hurt an ant. This was the power of his transformation in his heart because of association of a devotee like Narada and chanting of the holy name. Following in the same line, when Srila Prabhupada went to the West, these were people who were meat eaters, womanizers, gamblers, everything, practically all the four regulative principles, regularly they would break. But then, after coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada and following the process of chanting the holy name, etc., these people have become such exalted Vaishnavas that they are traveling to India and transforming the heart of so-called Brahmanas, who have left the Vedic culture and have become literally followers of the West. So these people have come and transformed lives of thousands. That is the potency of association of great saintly personalities, Sadhu Sangha. Srila Prabhupada had a strong desire that self-sufficient communities be established, farm communities be established, where natural living could be taught to people, because he knew that the civilization that we are heading towards is bound to collapse one day. This kind of blind, mad rush for sense gratification, this kind of civilization cannot last long. Recently, I think in America, for 1 hour there was a blackout. Whole city, I think New York, right? New York? There was one total city. Nobody had ever experienced this in their life. Everyone went crazy. They literally went mad. Just 1 hour of electricity going off. Can you imagine what would happen if for days together this didn't exist because of some natural disaster? So this is so much dependent on external things. And this kind of civilization won't last. So Srila Prabhupada wanted that natural, self-sufficient farm communities be set up where the whole world can watch how simple living and high thinking of Vedic culture can be followed. And many of his disciples are sincerely trying to adopt this kind of communities, establish this kind of communities, successfully have been established in many places all over the world. And thanks to Srila Prabhupada's mercy, that right now the place where we are sitting, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, is simply an insignificant byproduct of his merciful glance to deliver the fallen souls all over. So this little endeavor that we are trying to do is simply for his pleasure. And their Lordship Sri Radha Gopinath are showering their mercy. It is simply by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada that whatever we have received, whatever we are able to share with you today, it is his mercy. But the real effect would be when we accept this mercy into our heart and sincerely, to the best of our ability, put it in our life. Otherwise, this potential Sadhu Sangha, which can give us ultimate perfection of life, can be lost, and we don't know how long we have to travel in this universe before we again get this opportunity, golden opportunity again. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, finally, can you put this off? To summarize, I would like to take you back to the first day. We were discussing the four problems: birth, old age, disease and death. Misery is caused by body and mind. Misery is caused by natural disturbances, other living entities. Now, after the seventh day, how have we solved it? Let's see, because ultimately that's why we went about, right? That's our purpose. When we know we are not the body, we are the soul, then there is no birth, no old age, no disease and no death. For the body there is. To the extent we realize we are not the body, we are the soul. By practicing the process of Krishna consciousness, what we discuss, A, B, C, D, to that extent we can elevate ourselves to the spiritual consciousness by which this death will be like a she-cat taking the kitten. Death for a devotee is like door opening to Vaikuntha, and death for a non-devotee is like snatching away everything that he has strived for in life. And as regards miseries caused by body and mind and natural disturbances and other living entities, a devotee knows that the material world is full of miseries anyway. He learns to tolerate and continues to perform his devotion at any cost without getting disturbed. And in this way, he transcends the three modes of material nature, Raja, Sattva and Tama, and becomes fixed in the service to the Lord. So, when he does this, and simultaneously balancing his body and its extensions, that is the extension of the body and its responsibilities, and the responsibility of the soul to achieve the ultimate destination of life. Through taking shelter of a bona fide guru or a saintly person, one can achieve the ultimate perfection of life. So in this way, this course comes to an end here. So before I conclude, I would like to make a few announcements. Yeah, and a certificate. Clear. Yeah. Yeah. So, before we end, really, from the bottom of my heart, I would like to thank all the devotees who are responsible for making this program a success. Actually, I am stealing the limelight by sitting in front and attracting the attention of everyone. But the real success of this program was the sincere and very hard work of many, many devotees who are humbly sitting, you know, in a very lowly position, and they have done the real hard work. You see, to arrange all this, I had to get onto their head. I don't know much about computers, so I had to get onto them, and they sit days together, actually, hours together, to make all these things. And then you see this prasadam and nice arrangements here, and every time to make these notes, get it xeroxed, and practically everything, every facility here, making all arrangements so that you can be very comfortable and enjoy. This is the effort of so many other devotees. So I would like to sincerely thank them. Of course, it's like right hand thanking the left. I can't thank them, but still I would like to just mention my gratitude. And of course, to all of you, I think you are real sadhus. Titikshavaha, you have been very tolerant. You know, sometimes 6:30, then 5:30, then I say 7, and then skip Saturday, come on Sunday. Anybody else would have been like burst out, but you have been really tolerant because you are very merciful to me. So I think you have a more exalted sadhus. So I would like to really thank you from the bottom of my heart for tolerating me for 7 days. It's a 8th wonder of the world. So thank you very much. And one thing is, I was telling you about the books that Srila Prabhupada wrote. So we have discussed 7 topics, and we are making it available, some books that would be very helpful to you. The first day we discussed about, does God exist, who is God, etc. This is there in this book called Elevation to Krishna Consciousness. And then we discussed about laws of karma, why do bad things happen, that is in this book, Laws of Nature. Then we discussed about yoga. These two are much more very nicely elaborated in this book, Perfection of Yoga. Then we also discussed about soul, science of soul, that is in this book, Beyond Birth and Death. Then we discussed about importance of guru, what is a guru, what is to be, that is there in this book, Parampara, etc. That's in this book, Rajavidya, the King of Knowledge. And finally, today's discussion, what we had, what is ISKCON, why do we chant, how do we chant, what is an altar, how to establish, what mantras to offer, what is the purpose of decorating our body with chilak, what are the ingredients that is to be offered, everything practically, day-to-day things. That is in this called Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness. So these books, along with a set of beads, so that you can, at least as I said, even if you forget everything, if you remember the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and chant on this at least 108 times a day to begin with, I think that will be, Krishna's mercy will flow, He will give you the strength and the intelligence and to do the rest. So, this total set, these books along with the chanting beads, how much is it? 90. Okay, but for those who have participated in the course, a special discount is made available for 50. Okay, only today, only for those who have participated, is a special discount offered. If some of you have, then you need not buy. But if you would like to get a set, you can collect it from the book table there. It will be kept for 50 rupees. And I would sincerely suggest that you can read one page at a time. Mark down. If you get any doubts, you could always come and we could discuss. Also, since it's a little late, I don't want to have, otherwise we had this, we used to have a program of distributing this certificate. It's a beautiful certificate which certifies you as a bona fide candidate to practice self-realization. I would like to read this content. Congratulations, Mr., Miss, or whatever, so and so, on the successful completion of a course on the science of self-realization, the essence of Bhagavad Gita, conducted between 18th April to 24th April 2004. We hope and pray at the lotus feet of the Lordship Shri Radha Gopinathji that they shower their choicest blessings upon you in removing all the impediments from the path of self-realization and attaining the perfection of an eternal blissful life in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. So, all of you who are registered are entitled. So, we don't want to spend half an hour in this ceremony. We are more interested in the essence than the rituals. So, you can collect it as you are going out. But kindly collect this certificate. If not anything, this will remind you that you attended and what you should do. You can write down ABCD on top. So, please collect that. And as you are leaving, before even you take prasad, this will be distributed to everyone. There is a small feedback form. So, my sincere request is, every one of you, not that one for family, this feedback is individual feedback. So, every one of you, kindly, no, 1 minute, I'll just, kindly fill it up and return it at the counter, because this feedback, and try to fill up the whole information, every information, so that we could get an understand of how to improve our service to you, and also this will give us further information to invite you for any other important programs. So kindly fill and be frank. Whatever, if you do not like something, you mention it. If you like something, mention it. So we know what is our plus point and minus point. We will try to improve our service. And finally, one very important thing is we have 8 sessions. The advanced course, this is the basic course that we had. Now, Bhagavad Gita or spirituality itself is a too vast a subject matter, but in these 7 days we have just given a glimpse of the basic introduction by which we can understand the spiritual terminologies better, and enough to actually begin our spiritual life. But there are many more doubts you may have, little more elaborate details. So for this, as we were telling, many of people would request that it's like strong dose and then all of a sudden left loose. So, not to be just leave it high and dry, we have decided to have this follow-up course, which is of 8 sessions every Wednesday. This is not every day, every Wednesday from 7 to 9 p.m. This will be conducted by a very senior couple in our congregation, Dr. Dhaval Dalal and his wife. He is actually MD surgery. And he's a very eloquent speaker, very sincere practitioner. He's a counselor. He's been guiding the lives of many, many householders. In practical dealings, he's able to do it. In fact, he's one of my seniors. I have got my inspiration from him. So he will be handling this along with his wife, because many a times some ladies may have some questions they may hesitate to ask, or, you know, feel shy to approach. So in this advanced course, we have a couple. So you could approach his wife. She is also very exalted. She is conducting this course for many times already. And all of them who underwent that advanced course were very, very grateful for this extra information that they received. So the registration for this is also 200 rupees. If you would like to, you can mention it here if you would like to, and if you are putting agreeing to, you can kindly register at the counter there, and based on that we will inform you on Wednesday whether we are having it or not. At least we need 20 to 30. If it is less than that, maybe we will have after the next course or something. But if it is more than that, we would like to have. So if you have already attended, some of you, or if you, it's all right, but if you would like to attend on a weekly basis every Wednesday, kindly fill up the form and register so that we will inform you. So every Wednesday for next 2 months, once a week, that is the session. Anything else? That's all. So thank you very, very much. Should we have a couple of questions? Anyone would like to ask anything? Yeah? Can you pass the mic? Yeah. So the form is being passed. Kindly fill it up. Yeah, here. Here, this person. Front.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Okay. After you fill up the form, you can give the form at the table and collect your certificate. And if you would like to get the books, you can take the books from there. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. I have two questions, Prabhuji. One is regarding soul. You said the soul is residing in the region of heart. Now, during heart transplantation, what will the situation of heart, soul? Second question, every karma we have to suffer for that, there is a reaction of that. And in the last chapter, you said, Sarva dharma anuparitejya mameka sranam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami masucha. In that case, Krishna is delivering from all the sins. And other place we are heard that every karma we have to suffer for the activities. Can you elaborate on this? Hare Krishna.
Every karma?
Every karma we have to suffer for that. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Bad karma. Not so, bad karma.
As regards the heart transplant, I was discussing the other day, individual question answers. The soul is not, he is situated in the region of the heart. Not, the heart is not the seat of the soul. The heart itself is not physically. It's situated in the region of the heart. So when the heart is transplanted, the consciousness is there. Just like I am sitting on the chair. Suppose somebody says, I want this chair. So I get up, he takes the chair and gives me another chair, then I sit down. It's not that he will lift the chair and I will also go away with the chair. I am sitting in the chair. The chair is a place where I sit. But I am not this chair. So the soul is not the heart. The soul is in the region of the heart. So during this transplant, the heart is changed and then the heart enters again. Heart is it's in a different realm. It's not in the physical heart, but it's in the realm of the conscious heart. And as regards the karma, actually, the more we surrender to the Lord, the more He eliminates this karma. The more we actually surrender, He eliminates this karma. He takes away. And therefore, actually good or bad, both He takes away. Not only bad, even good reactions. Because in the ultimate issue, good or bad is both bad. Because it makes us come into this material world of birth and death. So by the process of bhakti, karmani nirdahati kintuja bhakti bhaja. The seeds of bhakti is like a fire which burns away the godown of all the seeds, good or bad seeds, from within the heart. So everything is wiped out. Yeah. Can you pass them?
We understand the philosophy behind the name Krishna, Lord Krishna, and also message of Bhagavad Gita. But what is the philosophy behind Radha?
What is the philosophy behind Radha? If you say a king is useless without queen, without his kingdom, without his subjects, without the treasury. Right? A king means he has a queen, he has a minister, he has subjects, he has an army, he has a fort, he has a kingdom, he has his treasury. Similarly, a god, when the word use the word god, that means god automatically includes all his energies. There are three kinds of energies. Sandini, Samvit and Ladini. Sandini means the existential, the whole, this world, material world, spiritual world exists by the one particular energy of the Lord. Then, everything is conscious, knowledgeable by the second potency, Samvit. And the third and most important potency is energy, is Ladini, or which gives bliss. And the personification of that is Srimati Radharani. So, she is the pleasure-giving potency of Krishna. And actually Radha and Krishna are inseparable. Just like the sun is useless without the sunshine. You cannot separate the sunshine from the sun. Similarly, Radha and Krishna are one. Their loving exchange is actually the essence of spirituality. You can't separate Radharani from Krishna. Just like the energy, Shakti and Shaktiman. Shaktiman is Shaktiman because he has Shakti. So Krishna and Radha are inseparable in that sense. So, and we approach Krishna only through Radharani. Through energy only we can approach the energetic. Otherwise we haven't. That's why I was telling Hare Krishna, Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayan. Devotional energy, bhakti. Bhakti is given only by mercy of Radharani. So that is the significance. Therefore, generally as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we never worship Krishna alone. Generally we worship Radha Krishna. Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. The worship of Radha Krishna is energy along with energetic along with energy. Any other questions or comments anyone would like to? Yeah. Can we pass the mic? So there is time for you to write down. Please feel free to write whatever you feel. Any criticisms, comments, suggestions, welcome.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, we worship deities and some people they do Murti Puja. So is this the same? What is the difference like?
Murti and Sri Vigraha is different. Murti Puja is idol worship. Whereas Sri Vigraha Aradhana is deity worship. Just like sometimes you have some statues of politicians. Okay? But that is, they are not in that. It is simply some respect we may show. That is different from Vigraha Puja, Sri Vigraha Aradhana. Vigraha means actually the Lord is manifest through the mercy, and to the extent we approach with faith, the Lord reciprocates. Just like, I'll give you an example. A post box and an ordinary red color box. They are made of the same thing. But one is government authorized And another one is simply put up by someone. Suppose I put up a red color box in front of my gate and post a letter in it. It's useless because the letter will not reach anywhere. But if there is a post box, same kind of material, same color, everything. But if it is installed by the government, then a whole energy, all one department of government is working behind that box. And when you put a letter, it reaches the person to whom you have addressed it. Why? Because it is authorized box, authorized by the government. Similarly, it's a piece of stone. But when we install that particular piece of stone, so to say, we carve it according to scripture, we install it according to the scripture in an authorized way, and we worship according to an authorized way, because we are doing it in an authorized way, the worship reaches to whom we are offering it. It is no more an ordinary, it's an ordinary piece of stone, no doubt, externally speaking, but it is no more. Just like a post box is not an ordinary box anymore, because it is authorized. A whole department of the government is working behind it. Similarly, the whole energy of the Lord is working behind, and whatever you offer with love and devotion, it reaches. Therefore, we find there are so many temples in India where the deities have walked, have talked, have reciprocated. In fact, in Udupi, the deity has turned, and the main entrance is somewhere, but you have to see through a window, because there was a devotee who was not allowed inside, because he was from a low caste, and at that time they were not allowing. So he was behind the temple and praying. He wanted to see the Lord. Therefore, the Lord turned, and the temple wall broke open, and today everyone has the darshan only through that. It's called Kanakana Kindi. Kanakadas, there's a small hole through which everyone sees. So the Lord reciprocated. So if you, with that consciousness, see it as a piece of stone, for you he will act as a piece of stone. Ye yathamam prapadyante. If you approach it as a piece of stone, he will act like a piece of stone. But if you have faith through the scriptures, approach him as God, he will reciprocate. In the lives of so many great saints, this has happened. There's so many stories in the scriptures mentioned where the Lord has actually reciprocated. So that is the difference between Murti Puja and Sri Vigraha Aradhana. So in what we are doing is the worship of the Lord. Even though it may be ordinary picture, it's not an ordinary picture if we are worshipping it in a proper way. Because it's an authorized process. The Lord reciprocates. So has everyone filled up the form? Anyone left? Please raise your hand so I'll know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Very few are left. So I think we will stop here because we have to take dinner prasad. So again, I would really like to thank you for your cooperation and tolerance and patience to come. And hopefully we will see you next Wednesday, and kindly take best advantage of this. And I sincerely pray at the feet of their Lordship Shri Radha Gopinath Ji that their causeless mercy be upon you, and may this course be a beginning of an eternal blissful life in Krishna consciousness for you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.